Let's open our Bibles, and we're getting back into the Song of Solomon, chapter 6. And we just completed last week, in that sixth chapter, that precious detailed description of the Shulamite. And if we recall the detailed description of her beauty, so stunning, so magnificent was her beauty that the bridegroom said, "You're going to have to turn away from me. You're just too much. You're overwhelming me." And I pray that we know that's what happens. And I believe it's happening even this very evening with the Lord as we feed upon the word of his grace. Yea, the deep things of God by his Spirit. That's what this is about. Thank the Lord that we know. And we know this because of Paul's gospel. We know this because of the Apostle Paul and the mystery that was given to him that, thank the Lord, revealed it all. It opened up all the Word of God. It opened up all of the types and shadows. We now have a full, living color, vivid picture of why and what the Song of Solomon is for us in this church age. Praise the Lord. And how wonderful it was to see, too, her description and all of those different things that was said about her, especially the four traits at the very end, specifically outlined the same traits or the same description of the four living ones that we see in Revelation chapter 4 that again represents the full overcoming company. That's the bridal saints that are ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ in the midst of the throne. And I thank the Lord for that. I am grateful to God that every time we get a description throughout these types and shadows of the bride, and especially as it starts to give us description of the bride in those four living ones, it's always about the four living ones. Her description is not going to be seen in the 24 elders. Her description is not going to be seen in the innumerable multitude. Her description is not going to be seen in the 144,000. It's not going to be, because she's not in that. She is in the company that's in the midst of the throne with him. And I thank the Lord for that. And it just continues to substantiate itself, and because it is the Word of God. It's not to prove anything. It's just to rejoice in what is. And I thank God that what is the Lord is marking this out. He's again circling those and wooing them that want to go on. And you know, I thank the Lord to get up in the morning and say, "Lord, praise God, you've put a desire in my heart. I want to see more light. I want to see more of this." And I know it's going to be on his time, but you know, thank the Lord, you know, his faithfulness. He wants us to see it more than we would ever want to see it. But thank God for the grace that gives me the grace to ask for more grace. To see more of his grace. Isn't that something? And praise God, there's a lot of grace for grace there. But we thank the Lord for this so sweetly. But see, he's completely smitten with her as we left off. He's overwhelmed. Every detail of her so revealed and that he speaks of in such great description of her beauty. And the reason for each one of these details of beauty in her life is one reason. It's grace. It is. It's all grace. It's all what he has done. It's all what she has taken from the Spirit, praise be to God, and to become this readied wife for him. And it's magnificent, brothers and sisters. She has taken it all. And in taking all of the word of his grace, what happens, brothers and sisters, is we are built up. We are built up in him. The word of his grace builds us up, gives us an inheritance among all them also that are sanctified. And I thank God that that is exactly how it is. Those are the ones, praise God, those ones that are set apart, that are sanctified. They're like her. Those are the vessels that are only for the master's use. They go on. They go on in spite of the discouragements. They go on in spite of all of the winds of doctrine that are going on. Those were the watchmen. They go on despite even their familiar friends, other Christians like the daughters of Jerusalem, that kind of thought that, well, we can encourage you. But they really weren't trying to encourage her. They were just trying to get her to quit running. Amen. Take a break, honey. You're just too overwhelmed at this. It's causing too much trouble in your life. You're tested a little too much. You think maybe, you know, I never like to say too much, but some of the sisters and brothers that we just lifted up in prayer, I bet they've been going through some of those things too. One's calling up and say, "Oh, just, you know, Nope, it's worth it, and it will be worth it all. So we press on by God's grace. But tonight we're going to pick it up in verses 8 and 9. And it's here something new is revealed that we've really never had throughout all of this study. The bridegroom up until now has only spoken of her. He's only spoken about her attributes, her beauty, always speaking only of her. But now that she has completely realized that she is his, it's now time to unveil her. He now goes on in this precious Song of Solomon. What we're going to see more of tonight is the ranks in the resurrection. And I thank God for that. Again, in the faithfulness of the Lord, he's bringing forth this precious opening into all of the meanings here that God gives us. But these companies that we're going to read about here in the 8th and 9th verse are the companies that are seen in Revelation. And as you know and study Revelation, and as the Spirit, again, gives you understanding, you see different companies in heaven at different times. That's why when people say we're all going up at the same time, no, we're not. The Bible showed us that in the Old Testament, that, you know, first of all, Enoch, he was just taken. He walked with God, and he was not, and he was taken. And then we had Elijah. So we see that, you know, God is going to take out those ones at the times he's going to take them out. And we're looking for the first trump rapture. That's why Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, you know, if by any means I would attain to that rapture, to that resurrection, to that precious outcalling, to that outcalling of the first trump rapture. We know Brother Paul wasn't speaking of, I remember speaking to somebody a long time back. See, he was just hoping to be in heaven. No, he already knew he was seated in heaven. He already knew there was nothing that was ever going to separate him from the love of Christ. And I remember that fellow that was telling me that. He said, well, you know what? You're right. Well, what was he talking about? And I just shook my head. Well, what we were just talking about. But it was all right. The Lord give us understanding in these things. But brothers and sisters, we know that Brother Paul wanted to win Christ as bridegroom. We understand that throughout all of those precious epistles, whether it was in Romans, where, again, the manifestation of the sons of God, that, you know, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ if we suffer together with him. That highest rank, that reigning rank, is in every one of the epistles, all the way from, again, Romans, all the way down through Hebrews. It's just so wonderful what the Lord brings forth in those precious gospels and epistles that were written by Paul. So we thank the Lord for that. But we know that, again, these companies that are seen in heaven, as we get into the 8th and 9th chapter here, they're at different times. They're serving different purposes. But this one, this Shulamite that represents the bride of Christ, as we're going to read, she's the only one to him. He's going to talk about these different companies, but that's only one verse. Then we're right back to her. He's going to tell you a little bit about them, but then we're right back to her. And if you go throughout the book of Revelation, which is so beautiful, it's the four living ones. Those are the ones that are talked about all throughout the word in Revelation. And I thank God for that. Again, magnifying grace. That's what it is. It's not magnifying, in a sense, the bride and herself and her accomplishments. It's magnifying the bride because of the righteousness that she is completely covered in. And we know that that was the righteousness that Paul expressly said, Lord, that I would be only found in your righteousness. And that's all the grace of God. So we thank the Lord for that, that this is revealed to us. So let's go ahead and read verses 8 and 9 of chapter 6. It says there, there are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. So there's the verse that he mentions these different companies that we're going to talk about in just a second. But then he goes right back to her again. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the one of her mother, only shouldn't be there. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Oh my goodness. What's in here? Hallelujah. And soon it's going to be revealed. But so she is his first love. We can see this here. She has the like him glory as his spouse. She is the only one. But why did he wait until now. Think about this. To ever bring out these other companies. Why did he ever? It's not that he's comparing. He's just stating there's this precious companies around her. Again, encouraging in us out throughout the Word of God what he has for those that love his appearing. I've heard folks say, well, he kind of waited along because he didn't want her to get puffed up. Well, let me tell you something. If you know the gospel story, you know this is coming. He's been telling me this for a long time. And you know what? By the grace of God, it's only getting bigger and building up more and more. He tells me all the time, honey, I love you. I adore you. You're magnificent to me. I mean, he showers me with that. But the reason I'm receiving it is because I know it's only his grace that's doing that. See, it's only Christ in me, the hope of glory. I get that. Praise be to God. I thank the Lord that grace has spoken that to me. And I understand that he must increase and I must decrease. And in that, oh my goodness, he gives grace to the humble. And humble not in, oh, you know, Lord, I'm not worthy in that. No, humble in that, Lord, I know it's all you. I know this is all your plan. But I know that your plan, praise God, is all about me growing up into you in all things. That's so beautiful that I am the inheritance of God. Isn't that amazing? We are God's inheritance. He speaks of no other inheritance. We're it. We look on it as a natural bunch. We're thinking, oh my goodness, God, what went awry? But we know it doth not yet appear. Amen, amen, amen. But when we know Christ in us, the hope of glory, when we understand the Word of God, oh, I'll tell you what, I've never seen such great gems in my life because there's nothing to be compared, praise the Lord, to Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that marvelous as you sit there? And you know that, not because of what you have done, but because what he has finished. Praise God, what he has finished, what he has done, and what he is performing in his finished work in us. That's what's so beautiful. I'm grateful to God for that absolute assurance of his love to us. But see, brothers and sisters, the Bible says, you know what, honey, I'll exalt you in due time. And see, he has a perfect time for her unveiling. And it's just like we were mentioning just a moment ago. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But by faith, we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And praise God, as you go on and grow up in the Lord, you never care to be compared with anybody else. As the Word of God says, we don't compare ourselves amongst ourselves. Brothers and sisters, as we really grow up in Christ, all we want to see one another do is grow up. That's all we look for. I don't want to be opinionated. I say that all the time. And sometimes when I start to be, it's always, and I thank the Lord, his faith, so immediate, catching that. Lord, I don't want to have an opinion. I just want to look into the Word of God. I want to pray for my life and pray for others. Let's grow up into him in all things. Let our fellowship be in the gospel of Christ. And I'll tell you what, it'll be pure. It'll be one. It'll be unity in the Spirit. It'll be a bond of perfectness. It'll be bond of peace. How wonderful will that fellowship that we've been assured of that is in Christ. As the Word of God says, that we would dwell together. Dwell together. Amen? That doesn't mean just sitting up and saying, well, I'll sit over here, I'll do whatever. No, that we settle down in marriage. We settle down in the marriage proposal that Christ Jesus is giving us in his word. Praise be to God. And I thank the Lord. See, we're one in him. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Isn't that wonderful? I thank the Lord for all that. I thank the Lord we can get together once in a while in little groups. Sometimes the men get together. Sometimes the ladies get together. That's a precious thing and all of those things. But we're one. We're one. And we don't need to isolate. What we need to do is just gravitate right to the throne of grace and get in there and let the Word of God work it out. Hallelujah. And he does it. So we thank God for, again, that assurance. I appreciate Brother Copley. He said in a statement about he was a little bit reserved in gushing too fast, about saints. You know how they say trying to shine you or something, and by the grace of God, we never want to shine one another. But even being a little reserved as people would start to run for the things of Christ, he didn't want to really gush over them and, you know, just flower them with all of these compliments. Because we do have a tendency of getting puffed up. We do. And there's a lot of wisdom in that as well, too. But God help us, too, if we wouldn't commend one another in the things of God and in the word of his grace, just like the Apostle Paul did. He was quick to tell saints, I'm so thankful for the Lord, proud of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you're responding to these things and that it was his rejoicing. There wasn't any holding back there. And God help us never to hold back in that. But we still always quantify, qualify, glorify the statement, which is because of the grace of God that's with you. Isn't that wonderful? See, we know it's all the working of his grace. That's the way that we can be encouraging to one another. And I can have confidence, not in the flesh, but I can have confidence of Christ in you, the hope of glory. I do believe that he's going to perform the good work that he's begun in you. That's a promise to your life. And as we feed on the word of this grace, word of his grace, as we feed and live in our life, is that truth and love, you know what will happen? We will grow up into him in all things. And I thank the Lord so much for the promises of God, which are yea and amen. Praise his name. But here is what we have, is we have this vision of what surrounds her. So first off, in that eighth verse, and we kind of touched on this real briefly last week, but I'd like to touch on it again. We have these 60 queens. And it's important to note that as we begin in this little eighth verse, threescore, 60 queens, 60 is the number that means second place. So right there, we see that this first company that is shown that's around her. Remember, she's the one that's been talked about first. She's been the one that's been the apple of his eye in a sense and all of his rejoicing all the way through here. He is wooing, again, his readied wife. He's so thankful. And again, in a minute, he's going to go down to his garden of nuts. And that's so perfect for the description of Christians. But we'll get to that in a minute. But I love the word of God as he says, I'm going to go down to my garden of nuts. And it's the truth. We'll get there. It really says that. But so sweetly, he is enamored with her. He loves her. And but now he's unveiling, the vision. And he's giving us this type and shadow, again, of what Revelation gives to us in the different companies that are in heaven. It's so beautiful. See, the Lord substantiates this over and over. He repeats these things. Honey, how do I love you? Let me count the ways. Let me show you here. Let me show you there. It never changes. It's the same. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when my father told me that it's not good for man to live alone, this is what it was all about from way back then. I'm going to have a wife. And she's all over this word. And praise be to God, we see the bridal type over and over and over throughout the word of God. But first off, again, the 60 queens, 60 represents second place. Now these, you have to think about this. These are queens. These are reigning ones. Isn't that wonderful? So obviously, if these are reigning ones and they're queens, they have a throne. But again, they do not reign jointly. They're not the wife as what has been spoken of here in the Shulamite all the way along. So again, I can just take you right over to Revelation chapter 4, the very first company that's spoken of, that again follows exact order of the companies that are seen in heaven. Matter of fact, these are the many graves or some graves that were open there in Matthew. These are the full overcomers of the Old Testament that are seen in Revelation 4 as it opens up, where John is looking over back over the church age, and now he's speaking of the vision of Christ as he's taken his throne. He sees there the 24 elders. Isn't that wonderful? And the 24 elders have crowns. They're reigning ones. They have thrones, just like these queens. And just like the queens, it's truly a second place. It's not the preeminent place of the midst of the throne glory, which only the four living ones rejoice in, which only, as we've been reading over so many weeks, praise the Lord. And we can never exhaust this. Shame on us for moving through this too fast. It's the truth. But why not dwell here till Jesus comes? Now I got you real nervous. Praise God. But this is really, I thank the Lord. I believe this is just permeating through every teaching. It doesn't matter what class you go to in this assembly. It's about the bride of Christ. It's pressing us to go on. I thank God in the message of the Bride of Christ, salvation's there. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is there. All of that has to be there. All of those, in a sense, steps in rejoicing and thankfulness and complete salvation, it's got to be there. So it's all there. But praise be to God, I would be amiss if I didn't preach the whole counsel of God and preach it every time. That's what, by the grace of God, is impressed upon us. And I thank the Lord for this. But again, these queens, they represent that second place. They have crowns. They have thrones, just as the 24 elders. They're the full overcomers of the Old Testament. Their place is of reigning. But again, it's not a place of jointly reigning. It's not a place of glorified together with Him in the midst of the throne. It's not the place of the Shulamite that represents the bride, the wife, the queen, that is only seen in the four living ones or the four beasts. And all I can say is, God help us. Don't get stuck in what we think we know. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let the line upon line and the precept on precept do it. And it'll move us right along. And oh my, what the light will be. Next, we come to the 80 concubines. The number 80 speaks of strength. So you see the four score, that it means 80. And concubines. And let me tell you something. To be a concubine, you got to have strength. A tough place. A precious place. It's a concubine knows the king. But it's a place far removed from the wife. And a concubine is a place far removed from a queen. So we see it's another step. If you think of it's a lower rank. A concubine here represents a lower rank of believer. And if you think about concubines, what they were there for, they were there to serve. You think about the serving company that's so magnified in Revelation are the palm wavers, right? They're the ones that are the innumerable multitude. And what do they sing? Salvation unto our Lord. So that palm, again, speaks of a servant attitude. And isn't that amazing? Most of God's precious people, if you ever talk to them, oh, I want to serve the Lord. I want to be a servant. I want to get out there and serve and serve and serve and serve and serve and serve. Well, that's why it's an innumerable multitude. Because you don't hear too many saints that say, oh, I want to marry Jesus. I'll tell you what, I've honestly, as I've told you, I've heard that from only one person in my entire life, that wasn't associated some way with one of the meetings that preaches the whole counsel of God until the Lord gave us the website and getting on the internet to speak with some saints over the different places of the world. But that was on my honeymoon, and a young man who just got out of jail that was going to see his mother in San Jose, that she was a minister that preached the bridal message of Paul. And that was the only one I've ever met. Still gets the hair standing up on my arms when I spoke to that guy. Just a sweet young black man, and he was just so ashamed of himself, and we got to speaking about the deep things of God, and I thanked the Lord how much he encouraged me, but to encourage my like precious faith brother to say, oh, brother, that's when God was starting to teach me about, you know, it didn't have to be, but it had to be that way. And I've lost touch with him, but God, by the grace of God, I'll see him someday. But see, that's how it is. Every man in his own order, we see this. These are the precious ranks in the resurrection. We have the wife, we have the queens, we have the concubines. So again, it's the word of God tells us. We have the sun glory, we got the moon glory, and we got these celestial bodies, and one star differeth from another in glory. Every man's going to be in his own order. It's going to be a rank. Isn't it wonderful? So see, we see these things coming to pass over and over throughout the word of God. And then finally, in this eighth verse, you see it says, virgins without number. I appreciate Sister Bodie because I believe that, whether it's Brother Copley, Sister Bodie, and the different things that they say, they're right on it, and I thank God. And it's not that I know anything, and I thank God that so much of what the Lord has caused me to receive, huge amounts of what the Lord has worked in my life has come through those two vessels. It's just been absolutely precious. But then, as the Lord has taken us on to see more light upon light, truth's all the same. Isn't that wonderful? All running for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, all by the grace of God, that mark for the prize. But then again, the Lord just continues to show us more and more. He didn't sit us here for nothing. We go on. And I thank the Lord for that. And it's not that I'm bold in myself. That'd be stupid. But I'm bold in the Lord. I think that's wise. And I believe that he said that, you know what? I made the wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Come on, son, and we'll go. But I got to slow down a little bit. I get excited here. Got to catch my breath. And you all look like you just had a jet blast. But you got virgins without number. And as I was saying about Sister Bodie, she expresses this so sweetly because she goes back and does this really in detail. She says, you know what? These queens are the full overcomers in the Old Testament. Praise God. And I thank God that, you know, it's right there. And the concubines, the innumerable multitude, praise God, right there. And these virgins without number, she speaks there of the 144,000. And I say, thanks be to God. So much precious type in this. Again, just revealing, substantiating. Honey, I love you, and this is a perfect love. Now we're done with that, and now it's her. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that amazing how he does that about the bridal message? I always have to go back to Genesis 24. And I think about how there's all of those 67 verses in there. And I love how only one of them talks about the journey. A half of one of them. And all of the other 66 and a half verses, that's all about the bride. It's all about her. And again, the Song of Solomon, it's all about her. It really is. But why is it all about her? Because it's all about him. It's because she has taken all of him. He is everything. But in that, she has transformed from glory to glory. Praise the Lord. And changed from glory to glory that she's become his glory. She's like him. Isn't that amazing? And this is what it is. And this is why he is so awestruck about her. And God help us, may we be awestruck about him. Because that's how it transforms in our lives. But see, there were many companies here, brothers and sisters. I shouldn't say many companies. There are three other companies that's shown here. But there were many in each one of those companies, right? You think about it. There were 60 and 80 and there were innumerable and all of these different things. But the bride, as we get to verse 9, is but one. She's one. And that's what's so marvelous here. And he begins by saying, my dove. The dove speaks of the gentle one, tender one, one that is pliable, one that's not stiff-necked, one that's not fallow ground. It's broken. It's a life that appreciates and has allowed the Lord to chasten them as a mature son. Praise God, and surrendered to the Lord, and thanking God that understanding that it's the life isn't about even their myrrh. It's not about all the trials that happened to them. It's not about, oh, woe is me, and look at all these things I go through and I'm going through for the Lord. It's about him. She's all about him, and in that, she has captivated his heart. And I thank God that dove speaks of the Spirit. Amen. She is the Spirit's complete work. Just like in Esther. And we go back over these things. Or even in Ruth. See, Ruth listened. She listened. And she took only that instruction. Again, from the type of the Holy Ghost. Just like Esther in the type of the Holy Ghost. She only took what was given to her of the one that would ready her for the king. Didn't take all of these other things. Didn't try to grab all of what everybody else was saying. Didn't try to say, well, let me think through this and let me do it my way. Amen? Just took what the Spirit gave. See, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, what does he do? He takes the things of Christ and makes them mine. That's what's so beautiful. And we know that. And that's the assurance. That's the validation always that there's no doubting, there's no wondering. Is it the Word of God or is it not the Word of God? And is it truth in love? Or is it, again, of my effort? Is it of my strength? Or is it something where I just surrendered and say, Lord, just in your great grace, you give this to me and you pour it forth to my life. How wonderful this is. But see, this is the work of the Spirit. And then it goes on to say from the dove, my undefiled. This is getting even more wonderful. Undefiled means perfect, complete, lacks nothing in strength. Think of that. Perfect, complete, lacks nothing in strength. Why? Because she's perfectly weak. It's all his strength. Amen? As it tells us in Ephesians 4:13, Brother Paul, can you imagine that? To the measure, the stature, and the fullness of Christ. And to a perfect man, complete in him. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's why, praise the Lord, when we start to look at ourselves, that's when we get down. That's when we just shake our heads and say, oh, I've just been such a failure. I've just been so awful. All of those things. That's what the devil wants more than anything, is you to get to look at yourself, to get you away from looking at the Word of God. That's the truth. Just stay eyes on him. On the Word of God, trusting him fully. I really was encouraged by Sunday morning, my life. I thank God for that assurance. I thank the Lord so richly and sweetly. He does perfect that which concerns me. There's no accidents here. I know from the very first breath I took, he saw me in the womb. My goodness, he even substantiated, as my mother said, honey, I was speaking in tongues when you came out. And I thank God for those things. I know the presence of the Lord has been there. And I know the same for your life as well, too. You wouldn't be listening. I wouldn't be listening. Because he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen? This is the Word of God. We're just here listening to it. And he's given us an ear to hear it. That's the beauty of it. That's the faithfulness of him. And that's whom we rely upon. That's the confidence. Amen? Amen. And he said he'll perform it. So I'm going to rest upon the promises of God. So we're thankful that, again, to the measure, the fullness, the stature, the fullness of Christ. What a specimen. Amen? There couldn't be anything more beautiful. That's why he has to turn away. That's why I said, now come on, honey, you're going to have to just kind of, I got to look away. You're just too stunning. Praise God, because she's like him. Now, let's listen to who she is to him. He goes on to say, besides my dove, my undefiled, notice it's my. Remember that precious verse where he had all the my's, my, oh my. Isn't that wonderful? Take this. This is the courtship. Thank him for it. But here he goes on to say, my undefiled is one. That's so wonderful. She is one. She is the one of her mother. We know she's not the only one of her mother because she has a sister. We understand that. And that's why that word only is in italics anyways. I want you to understand what the Word of God is telling us. She is the one of her mother. I know you already know this, but this is so precious. She is the one means the only, the first. That's exactly what that means. And it's bridal language all over the place. In every way, she is the one that will be glorified together with him. In every way, she is the one that's going to reign jointly together with him. She is the one of her mother. She is the one of only grace. Our mother is grace. Every child of God is born by grace. Amen. It's the grace of God. We know that. But praise God, she's special because she is the one of only grace. She went on with grace. Grace alone bore her, and grace alone has raised her. Grow in grace. See, we can only grow up. It says grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can only grow in grace. That's why you go boldly to the throne of grace. For mercy and grace. And to realize you have need all the time. It's not just, well, I'll go when I need it. You missed it. You need to live there. Because it is your life. It is grace. And we thank God for this. But it goes on to say there, see, as this will really unveil itself, she is the choice one of her that bare her. This is so beautiful. The choice one. Choice one means she is the chosen. She's the beloved. She is her mother's darling. She is Grace's darling. Think of that. I want to be Grace's darling. I know you want to be Grace's darling. Praise be to God. Let's run and be Grace's darling. Didn't say to be Work's darling. Isn't that amazing what people want? And that's what our flesh would want too. Amen? But when grace really hits you, you don't want any of that stuff. You just want grace. And grace will cause your life to serve the Lord. It will. It'll bring wonderful works. Grace alone has caused me to say, you know what, Lord? I'll preach the word. I'll be thankful to preach the word of God. Didn't want to. Told you very, very clearly. I knew a preacher. I knew a pastor. Sure loved my pastor. But my pastor was also my grandfather. And I saw what that life was. And let me tell you something. It was nice, but I didn't want to have anything to do with that one. I had a really good one. Matter of fact, my wife told me I had a perfect one. Oops. She always kind of... I say that in such glory to God. And I mean that. You understand that? I got a perfect one. Because I'm doing today what the Lord has set before me. I don't know what will be tomorrow if tomorrow comes. And I don't know what I'll be doing. But I'm going to trust God. And in that, that'll be the glorious work to Him. That's what's so beautiful. So we can just know that it's the Lord in that. But thanks be to God again for what He has done. And it only gets sweeter as we trust God. And I'll tell you, I thank the Lord. There isn't anything else I'd want to be doing. Growing up in the Lord and being around the people of God, what a precious, precious privilege it is. But again, she is her mother's darling. She's the one. So again, do we see that she is the chaste virgin to Christ? As Paul's gospel, again, can only present that chaste virgin to Christ? You know, I've said that to people. Said, oh, come on now. You got too much about Paul's gospel. Well, I'll tell you what. It says preach no other gospel. Huh? Also says follow Paul as he followed Christ. The guy starts sweating. Then we get over here to 2 Corinthians 11. You know where I was going with this. And this again is Brother Paul speaking here. This is what the love of God was welled up in this precious life. He knew about the mystery that he'd been given. Again, the dispensation. He was, in a sense, the keeper of the house. He was the domestic for this precious message of Christ and his bride. So we thank God for this. But Brother Paul says, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Praise God. You know, Peter didn't say that. Moses didn't say that. Matter of fact, none of them could say that. This is the one that could say that because, not because of Paul the man, but because of the revelation that was given to Paul. Because of Paul's gospel. Amen. That's the reason that he could say this, because this was what the Spirit, again, gave utterance to say. Go on over to Ephesians chapter 5. There in verse 24, how wonderful. It says there, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. See, set it apart with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You talk about a chaste virgin to Christ. This is it. And this is what we have as we go back here and rejoice in this Song of Solomon. This is what this is speaking of. She is the one. She's the only one. Praise God. She is the choice one of her that bear her. Now, goes on to say there in verse 9, the daughter saw her, blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Oh my goodness, this is really getting wonderful. See, do you see this? They praised her. See, he unveils her. Praise be to God. This is Revelation 3 in living color to us. And I will make known to all that I have loved thee. He's going to present her. Hallelujah. This is the groaning of all creation in Romans 8 for the manifestation of these sons, the sons of God, these mature sons. These are the double portion ones. As we've been reading in the Song of Solomon, she is the one that is not only a sister, she is my spouse. And they will praise her. Look at that. They will praise her. Isn't that something? Well, let me tell you something. When the glory of God is present, you're going to praise it. And she descends from heaven having the glory of God. And let me tell you something, they're going to praise. Matter of fact, as it said, I'm going to make them to bow down and worship before thy feet. What don't we get? John was walking around with the guy in Revelation and kept falling down and worshiping. Lord, wake us up. God, help not my unbelief. Well, self-righteousness is unbelief. So, like I said, take it. He died for you to have it. Amen? Amen. So, we'll hit this last verse and we'll close it up with 10. Who is she that looks forth as the morning? Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. Praise God. See, he just can't get over her, can he? Isn't it wonderful how he just keeps complimenting her all because of the grace of God? Now, think of this. She looks down because she is the one that looks forth as the morning. So when you look forth as the morning, praise God, she's looking down on this because she's got sun glory. See, she's seen here and described as the sun. She has all the light of the sun glory. Praise God, she descends, as it says there in Revelation, the bride of Christ, that new Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, descends from heaven, having the glory of God and her light. Amen? Remember the sun glory? There's a glory of the moon and a glory of the stars, but it's that sun glory. It's his glory. And this is the glory that she has. And let me tell you something. She will be part of the light of that glory dawning morning. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because when that light hits, because he will have his glory. She'll be with him. You talk about a combustion. That's what it's going to be. And how incredible that she will be with him. She is the first. She is the choice. And she is as fair, it goes on to say, as the moon. Now, the word moon here isn't, as we're thinking of, is the moon. The moon in this text, and actually in the Hebrew here, what it's speaking of is glorious white. She is the glory of the day, if you think about it too. And she's the glory of the night. She's the glory of everything. Because she's his glory. Her brilliance, again, brothers and sisters, because she has the glory of God, she descends from heaven, and this whiteness that it speaks of here is this moon. The whiteness, you go into Revelation, you read about the wife who has made herself ready and how she is clothed, and that spectacular whiteness of her gown. That whiteness is, again, the righteousness of saints. Amen? It's the righteousness of saints. That's her gown. Now think about that, because that's being found in him. She's only clothed in him. Again, that is that brightness, that grace of God. See, there's nothing brighter than the grace of God. There's nothing brighter than being found in him and his righteousness. And that's why she's so stunning. Again, that's why she's so captivating to him, because she has taken everything of him. It goes on to say, and she is as clear as the sun. This is beautiful. Clear as the sun, the word clear means, again, choice one. It's the same word that we just read there in verse 9 about the choice one. But in this context, it's a little bit even more special. And it's even more special to our hearts, brothers and sisters, because we used to hear Brother Hill describe this word. It's the word from which we get sincere. Remember how he used to say sincere or clear to the light? This is that word. See, she is clear as the sun. What he's saying here is she's transparent. I shine right through her. Her light, it's me. The glory that she has, it's me. And this is the clarity. All you see is him. You see nothing but him. Clear to the light. Praise God. He shines through her. And so wonderful as it it also means that she's completely emptied is another meaning of this. He's the only thing that fills her. There's nothing of her anymore. She is filled with all the fullness of God. I just think of how many times does he tell us, how many times again does he substantiate this beauty, this wonderful beauty that he sees in you. And what does he see in you? Christ in you. Amen? But what in its fullness growing up, it will be and can be. This is why he gives so much praise again to the glory and the honor and the praise and the thanksgiving of what? His grace. Because this pleases the Father. See, you have to remember that. The Father put everything in the Son. See, Jesus isn't an egomaniac. He's not. He wants to please the Father. This is the plan of the Father. Son, I put everything in you. I want you alone to be magnified. This is the very plan of heaven. And this is how you're going to be magnified in the height of heights is your wife. Because she gets it. She took it. She wants to magnify you. She wants bridegroom written on her. And she understands the only way that that's made and the only way that that's done and the only way that that's performed is the grace of God. Praise the Lord. What a marvelous plan. Thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. And then finally, he brings back once again to the victory, the full overcoming victory of faith. I love that song. Faith is the victory. Amen. When we believe God, that victory comes right in. She saw the vision, brothers and sisters, of what complete faith in his word would do. Faith in his love would rot in her life. This is why he finally says here in that last statement, and terrible as an army with banners. We read about that before. And I do. I was so encouraged in the Sunday night Bible class. And I think the Lord's dealing with me even for Sunday on this precious verse. So many different things just flooded my heart in so many different ways. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Getting back to that thought of faith. Okay, she's as terrible as an army with banners. This is speaking of the army with banners, speaks of victories. Victories, 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 victories. He loves those victories. Why does he love those victories so much? Because faith is what pleases God. Faith is the victory. Now think about what it says in 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience that race that is set before us. Now think about what it just said, compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. What did we just get through? Chapter 11, the Faith Hall of Fame. All of those wonderful full overcomers in Christ. How did they get to be full overcomers in Christ? They believed. They believed God. And we have this great, wonderful witness. We are surrounded, encompassed. We have no excuse. Praise God. And then think of where we are. As I walked out here and I was telling you, as I was looking at my pictures of the different saints that have gone before us that we have lived with, that have encouraged our lives. Even ones I haven't met that I mentioned earlier, Sister Bodie, Brother Copley, these different ones that have encouraged us, oh, such a great cloud of witness. I see their faith. I believe in that faith, the same faith of our fathers. And that's the faith, praise God, that mesmerizes him, that he has to just praise her for because of the work of Christ in her life. And remember that word terrible as we close this. This is so wonderful. It's a word that's used most often in the Old Testament to describe God himself. That word is used more often than not in every instance to describe God. And here it is describing her. It means to honor, to stand in awe of and respect. And this is what he is saying to her. I'll tell you what. Why does he give us such a great pinnacle of a type? Brother Ryan's here. He's going to get married. I'll assure you that he respects his wife-to-be. And you stand in awe of her, don't you, honey? Yeah, and you will. But it even grows. And I would be wrong if I didn't stand in awe and respect of my wife. That's the problem with marriages going both ways. But this is the same. This is what a good marriage is. And that's the thing about Jesus. He's going to have but one kind of marriage. It's going to be a good marriage. Because his Father's arranging it. Did you know that? This is an arranged marriage. By the Holy Ghost. He's seeking and searching them. My kids don't like to hear those things. It's not forced. But it's being arranged by the Spirit. You understand? All right. Let's close this up real quick. Having a good time in the Lord, though. Praise God. But again, we know and rejoice, as we've done before, she's a lover and a warrior. This is why she's terrible as an army with banners. As beautiful to him and appealing as her beauty and her grace is the grace that she's taken to become such a warrior, to stand, to withstand, and having done all to stand. She's a fighter. She endures the hardness as a good soldier. She's beat up. She's bloodied. Just like him, he wore that crown of thorns for her. And praise be to God, she's taken a couple nicks for him. And he loves it. He loves it. And he loves that fighter in her. The banner again speaks of the manifold victories, the banners, I should say, in her life. She's a full overcomer. And though every one of our battles, brothers and sisters, is unique, the banner over every battle is the same. The victory was always because of his love for me. His banner over me is love. Always remember and always rejoice. Faith worketh by love. When you know and believe and take the love of God as you go through your life, you'll believe more scripture. You'll settle down. You'll grow in the Lord. I thank God. Faith doesn't come by being good. Faith doesn't come by trying to work this out and do that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And again, I'll challenge people, well, what's the Word of God? Who's God? He's love. It's truth and love. You need to understand that. That's why he adores her. That's why he adores her victories. That's why he adores her faith, because that's what pleases God. Do you understand that? He adores the victories of your life. He really does. Because faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And once again, and I love this, that is why we know, and Paul's paramount of prayer was to know the love of Christ. That's being filled with all the fullness of God, because God is love. So it's filled with all the fullness of love. So it's to know and to be filled with all the fullness of love. When you're filled with love, brothers and sisters, you'll be full of faith. You'll be full of faith. You will be. See, faith without love, you could have faith to move mountains, but it doesn't profit you at all, does it? Remember that. It's love that activates it all. It's love that's all powerful. See, and it's the love that'll increase your faith. See, love wants to know him. Amen? Think of even in the natural. When you're in love with somebody, truly in love with somebody, you want to know them. When you're in love with somebody, you want to be with them. Amen? And think of this with Christ. When you're in love with somebody, when you're in love with him, you'll believe him. And when you're in love with him, you'll live for him. Amen? Well, I pray we're getting it. I believe he's doing it. And I so thank God that, the violent will take it. And I like being violently in love with the Lord. Call me crazy, but I thank the Lord. And as we go to prayer and dismiss, again, brothers and sisters, when you see these things come to pass, and there's lots coming to pass in our world right now, there's more in a day coming to pass than last 20 years. Don't look at it. Look up. I told you so. He's saying, honey, I told you so. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.